Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Regarding ID podcast. I'm Gina Jordan. The concept of facial recognition has evolved in the years since 9/11. In the months and years following the attacks in 2001, facial recognition, a technology that was not new at the time, was touted as something that could be used to spot bad individuals in a crowd and prevent terrorists from entering the country. For various reasons, that's not exactly how it worked out. But as a means of authentication, the technology is going through a bit of a renaissance. Microsoft has enabled it for access with Hello, enabling contactless login for Windows 10 users, and financial institutions are using it to authenticate customers on mobile devices. We spoke with Brian Martin, Director of Research and Technology at MorphoTrust, about how facial recognition has changed in this century.
Around the time of 9/11, face recognition was still considered emerging technology in biometrics. So fingerprint, for instance, was well established, but people didn't think of face recognition as being, you know, something that was used every day. In fact, though, it was not that immature at that time. Our company had products out. For instance, if you would buy like an IBM laptop, it had a face recognition lock built into it using our technology. Nevertheless, people didn't consider to use it at such a big scale, like to screen airports for, you know, terrorists. So after 9/11, I think a lot of focus was put onto this kind of bad guy use case where, you know, you're trying to find somebody on the watch list. And at that point in time, the technology, I think, was not accurate enough to meet people's expectations. This had to do with the fact that, you know, the camera technology wasn't as advanced as it is right now. Back then, new cameras were lower resolution. Right now, like every camera you get is HD quality. But back then, it was worse than like a little webcam, right? Secondly, computational power of computers was much less than it is today as well. That means that we couldn't use as intensive or accurate algorithms to do something like screening people walking through a security gate. So I do think that back then, face recognition was probably a little bit overhyped for the use case that they wanted. However, it was not useless. It would still be better to use face recognition than to use a human back then, because if you had a database of several thousand bad guys, it's very unlikely that a human could memorize those several thousand bad guys and then be able to look through somebody walking through a checkpoint and then automatically, you know, pull them up. So it wasn't useless. It just, I think, didn't meet expectations because there wasn't an available database for people to use to find all the bad guys. But now moving forward, cameras now are everywhere, right? Every mobile phone has a couple cameras on it. Computational power, you know, your phone is as powerful as your computer was, 10 years ago. So it's a game changer. And now all of the universities are interested in this problem. And so there's been a ton of research in this field over the last 10 years. And new algorithms in machine vision and machine learning, teaching computers how to learn, I think have greatly improved the accuracy of the system. So now cameras, the algorithms are much better so that you can actually do face recognition on a mobile phone and get good accuracy. I mean, I think at a high level, that's kind of the step from there to now.
Accessibility has certainly made a big difference. Smartphones are prolific with their high-resolution cameras, but facial recognition itself has gone through changes.
From a very, very high level, things work the same. I mean, you get an image, you detect where the face is located in that image, you extract features from the face, and then you have a matching algorithm that can match that face to other facial templates. However, it's changed in that now we can leverage higher resolution images, which means that instead of just looking at the shape of the face and kind of the global features, now we can really like look at things like the little wrinkles and pores on your face and actually match the texture of the skin. Furthermore, when I mentioned machine learning, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't have the cloud computing infrastructure. Furthermore, wasn't access to all of this data that's available on the internet. So with the internet providing so much data, with all these computers, now you can actually train the face recognition algorithms much better than you could, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. And that's made a dramatic difference in the accuracy of the algorithms, because computer learning or machine learning requires a lot of data to kind of learn how to solve a problem. And even though maybe the concepts existed 10 or 15 years ago, the ability to execute those concepts and solve a problem like face recognition didn't exist 10 or 15 years ago. So only now in the last couple of years have we really seen these kind of new modern machine learning algorithms come in.
Facial recognition is becoming a popular biometric among mobile users. It's easier than taking a selfie, and it's a favorite among experts in the field for its contactless function and its accuracy.
In all of biometrics, there's usually two measurements of your errors. There's the error where you don't let the person unlock their phone when it's really them. And then there's the other error when a bad guy steals your phone and tries to unlock it with their face and it actually unlocks. Typically, the one that is the most inconvenient for people is what we call the false rejection rate. You want to match this person, but you're unable to match them for some reason. And this is where the image quality plays a very important role. And so from the 10 or 15 year ago question, if face recognition worked okay when you had really good image quality, that means you're looking at your camera, you have nice even lighting on your face, and you have a consistent expression from one image to the next. But where face recognition has trouble with accuracy is when you're not looking at the camera, say like almost a profile view of your face, or you have very strong shadows, or you know, you open your mouth real wide and put sunglasses on. So that, of course, would hurt face recognition accuracy. And that's the same case as it was then as it is today. However, the algorithms today with the new machine learning, they're able to compensate for these like poor lighting and you know, non-frontal pose of the face much better than they could in the past. So since the new algorithms are better at that, that means you're less likely to be rejected from the application when you were not supposed to be rejected.
As more is being done to secure mobile devices and transactions, users are more apt to embrace stronger identity authentication practices being driven by the FIDO Alliance and the Identity Ecosystem Steering Group. The field is moving away from scenarios involving one-to-many matches and toward one-to-one matching. It's a very different concept to match that you are who you claim to be against one image rather than matching against a large database of people.
The one-to-one, you're trying to verify or authenticate the person against one single record. But that one-to-many case is something more that, like, you know, you would do if you're searching a latent fingerprint against a big database or something. You're trying to identify, trying to pick one person out of a large number of people. And the reason that gives you more error is because biometrics and face recognition is essentially a statistical process. And so if there's one in a million chance that you will make a false accept or match the wrong person, if you match it against a million people, then all of a sudden there's about a one in one chance that you'll get a false match. So that's why this other error, this false accept rate, increases as the database size increases. So doing a one in one match decreases the likelihood of having a false match and makes all these new applications like logging onto your phone, you know, viable.
So, nearly 15 years after 9/11, facial recognition has become one of the top biometric modalities for mobile access. The phone is always with us. It can be held at a comfortable distance, and login is just a blink away.
There's one other benefit to face recognition that some people forget, and that's the fact that if there was somebody attempting to break into your system or do something like that, with face recognition, you have a audit log. You have a picture of the person that was trying to do that. Whereas with fingerprint or iris, if you had their, you know, attempt to break into the system logged, what good is seeing a fingerprint? Nobody can like walk around your office and see if that was the one of your office workers or something. So there's this kind of natural security feature built into it as well that people recognize and can use. I think that it's only going to continue to be used in more ways and interesting ways that we haven't even thought of. And as these algorithms get more and more advanced, it'll just provide a better user experience for people. So they won't care if you have, you know, glasses on or the lighting's real bad, right? So I think it's just going to get better and used in more places.
Thank you to Morpho Trust's Brian Martin, who says the concept of biometrics has morphed from looking for the bad guys to now enabling the good guys to do stuff. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Regarding ID podcast.